Hi, I'm Andrew Fuller. I'm a clinical psychologist and my career began in psychiatric crisis teams, talking people out of suicidal situations or seized situations. So it's pretty interesting. And that got me interested in how you stop people getting to that point in their lives. That then led me to begin researching the area of resilience, an area which I continue to research in to this day, really. And the area of resilience then got me interested in, of course, working with schools. Because, of course, if you want to impact on a large number of young people, you've got to work for those in schools. That then led me, in turn, to kind of thinking about brains and how they learn stuff. So basically, if I can give young people in schools a sense of success, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of belonging, and a sense of meaning, then I set them up in more powerful ways for good mental health and a happy, safe, fulfilling life. Willpower is a really interesting kind of area, and it's one that I guess is involved traditionally with the executive functions of the prefrontal cortex. So this is the part of the brain that really helps us to plan, to forecast, to predict, to make decisions, set priorities. It's pretty essential to our lives, really. And one of the ideas, I suppose, is that the first thought that comes into your head is not always your best idea. It was sad, but it's a lesson that we all have to learn at some point in our life, that our first thought wasn't always the best thought. And so learning the idea to resist your urges, not always, but sometimes, is really important. You know, that thing that you want to buy that you can't afford, maybe it's worth saving up for rather than just sort of putting it on credit, for example. Or it might be better to, you know, basically stop that kind of partying while I prepare for my HSC exams. Or it might, you know, there's a whole series of areas. And so if you don't know how to resist that initial impulse, your I want it brain, when there's a lot of your basic, the base part of your brain, which is I want, you know, I want food, I want drink, I want, you know, to have an enjoyable life, all that kind of stuff. But that's sort of like an obsessional driven world, and you don't really achieve much. And so willpower is essential to basically having a good life. Well, we live in an age of instant gratification. That's true probably for everyone. We're told basically don't worry about saving it up. Buy it now, buy it on credit. Don't basically worry about putting it off. You deserve it. You're worthy of it. There's a whole series of advertising, you know, mechanisms that are trying to give you this kind of idea of buy it now, you're worth it, you deserve it, you know, it's your right. But of course, it doesn't serve us very well. And of course, we know these things that we often then just consume or have are very transitory in terms of the level of satisfaction or happiness they give us. And so, sadly, some of the best things in life are worth waiting a bit for. You know, and we don't wait forever, but at the same time, you want to kind of build up, because otherwise you don't anticipate any things that are coming that are good either, too. If it's all instantaneous, there's no point looking forward to things. There's no point building hope. It's building about an instantaneous gratification. And I don't think it's particularly good for any of us, really. Well, goals are good. I mean, setting goals is a useful thing to do in your life, obviously. But if you just stop there, nothing happens. So I can set a goal to basically run a marathon, but if I don't do any training, I'm not going to run a marathon. I can set a goal basically to earn this amount of money, but if I don't do any work to do it or achieve that mark. And so while the goal setting is important, the system that you set up to achieve that goal is essential. If you have no system, you basically have no way of getting there. And so what we lack often in our world are people who go, okay, that's the goal I want. Now, what are the things I have to do regularly in order to get that outcome? Because if I don't set that up, basically then all I'm dictated to is by my I want it brain. Yeah? And so what happens is your want it brain says you deserve it now. Give it to me now, you know? Whereas if you've got a system that says, okay, I know I want that chocolate now, but actually the system is I only have chocolate twice a week or whatever it might be, you know? And building that system is something that's foreign. Well, it's foreign to lots of us, really. It's foreign to kids especially, but it's something we're not real good at, and helping people to do that. Because if you have no system, you have no success. It might be a system like I get up first thing in the morning and go to the gym before I do anything else. Or I go for a swim on these days a week. Or it might be that I go for a walk after dinner before I turn the television on. I mean, it can be very simple things, but you build them as structural things into your life, And then you, I mean, obviously, even with the best system, we all fall apart from time to time. And then, as I talk about in the talk here at Gen Next, is never miss twice. So, okay, you miss once, fair enough, okay. You have a day off, that's okay. But the next day, you've got to actually put it back into place. Otherwise, if you don't do that, then the thing falls apart. Well, I think for anyone, it's important. For kids with mental health issues, often they are feeling quite dejected, and it's they feel disempowered. And part of that disempowerment is about not being able to make a difference in the broader world. But part of it's also about not being in control of yourself. And so even just taking on a small slice of control and testing yourself, testing your mettle, if you like, in terms of your determination, then proves to you can actually start to make a difference. So the people who I see are worst off in terms of mental health problems are those that believe it doesn't matter what I do, my moods, my feelings, my desires are going to dictate my life. And so often it's taking even a very small fragment of life. Okay, let's see if we can make a difference in that area. And once we've made a difference in that area, then that can springboard into other areas. So what we have in our society is a credit culture, whereas I can buy anything now and I'll pay for it later. And that often has disastrous consequences. And you know, that's why banks make so much money from the interest rates on credit cards. And so if you basically were to say, okay, I give myself a budget, this is the amount of money I can spend, and probably it's better to sometimes take on a cash budget and say, well, I've got this amount of money to spend this week, and once it's gone, it's gone, bad luck. Or there are things that I definitely want, so I'm going to basically save up, I'm going to set aside a certain number of dollars each week in order to get that. Or even more old-fashioned but really valuable is shops that still offer lay-by, the idea that you can actually get something and then you go in and pay it off. I once bought a car on lay-by. It really annoyed the car dealer because for 6 months I'd be coming in with small amounts of money, and then it wasn't a very expensive car, but I couldn't afford it at the time, so I was paying small amounts. Now I was sick to death of it. By the time I finally got that car, they just hated me, but anyway, it was useful. Quite often, let me give you an example of somebody who's feeling a bit socially isolated, who feels a bit alone. The system that I might ask them to consider would be one of saying hello to three people that they don't know each day. Just saying hello. Morning, how are you? Something like that. And because, of course, when we're shut down, when we feel lonely, when we feel sad, we tend to kind of wrap ourselves inwards. And that's not always our best strategy. But if you don't have a system to break out of that, you just stay kind of cushioned in, but isolated. And so learning to basically say hello to more people and maybe build that up slowly over time, it becomes more familiar to you. You become used to it. And so people, as you know, if you walk down the main street of Sydney and said good morning to people, half of them will probably ignore you. some might say, nod at you kind of weirdly, and others will say, good morning. But the idea at the end of it, if you walk the length of George Street doing that, by the end of it, you kind of think, well, this is just something that's happening. It'd be an interesting kind of research project in a way, but by the end of it, you'd feel differently about saying good morning to people.